There are few places in Scripture that tell us what to expect in the days just before Jesus' return. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is one of those places. When you read the verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's almost like you're turning on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC and you are reading current events, or you're watching current events. What you see in these verses is so current, it's almost like Paul wrote these words last week for us today. What we look at today is the biblical description of the days right before Jesus returns. So this morning, three descriptions of the last days. A sermon I've entitled, The Last Generation. First truth, notice, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, the danger of the last days. Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now you see the last days. Technically, the last days are the time period since Jesus ascended back into heaven. So that is, in one sense, everyone born after Jesus' ascension and everyone living in those days after Jesus went back to heaven is living in the last days. But in a very real sense, my belief is we are living in the last seconds, if not the last milliseconds, of the last day's time period. You say, what's it going to be like in that last day's time period? Look at the verse. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now know this before we get any further. I'm not telling you today when Jesus is returning. Mark chapter 13 says, no one knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to return. But we do know from experience that an expectant mother, she knows when she is about to give birth by the frequency and the severity of her labor pains. So what we see in chapter 3, as we see these things happening more severely and more frequently, we know it's getting close. So, look at what it says, chapter 3, verse 1. There, in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous means hard to bear. It means hard to deal with. It means difficult. So, the last days are going to be dangerous, difficult days. The times and the days that we are living in right now are some of the worst days our world has ever known. You say, I don't know about that. Spiritually, morally, ethically, domestically, my contention, America has never seen as bad days as we're seeing right now. You know, written in 1859. They were the best of days, and they were the worst of days. Oh yeah, we have technology, and oh yeah, we have conveniences, and oh yeah, in some ways, the money is flowing right now. But if you look at the spiritual condition of our land, we have never been more decrepit, more anti-God, more evil than we are right now. Now you look at this, last days, perilous times shall come. Same word is used in the Greek in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. There met him two possessed with the devils coming out of the tombs. And the next two words, you see it on the screen. exceeding fierce. Same Greek word for perilous times. That's the days we're living, where these people are just stabbing people on subways for no reason whatsoever, where they're just killing for the sake of killing. That describes the times before Jesus returns. And as we see these days getting more, these things getting more frequent and more severe, we know Jesus is coming soon. Number one, the danger of the last days. Number two, notice the description of the last days. Now, Paul gives 19 descriptions of the last days, the times right before Jesus comes back. And you're saying, 19? Are you going through all 19? We're going to be here for 13 years. I'm going to put them in categories for you. Notice, first of all, look at verse 2. The people of the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love will be the norm of the last days. Now, we know self-esteem is good. Jesus told us to love our neighbors as ourselves. But we live in a day that it's me-ism. I live for me. I want what I want. We live in a social media empire where everybody wants to look and pretend very surfacely it's all about how I appear and how I look. Me-ism, I'm here to say, is the biggest idol of our culture, and we worship me. I want me to be looked at great. Almost every sin in our world can be traced to selfishness. When you're selfish, you cheat your neighbor. When you're selfish, you abandon your spouse. You're not there for your kids. You trace it. Almost every sin in America can be traced back to selfishness. Number one, lovers of their own selves. Number two, you see what it says? Covetous. Lovers of money. Now hear me. There's nothing wrong with things. God wants us to have things. The problem is when the things have us. The Bible teaches that we're to worship God. We're to love people. We're to use things. But in our day, we ignore God, we love things, and we use people. Look on in the verse. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, see the next one. Boasters. They just brag. They tell everyone how great they are. Continually boasting about our achievements, our accomplishments, our greatness. Our generation, the last generation, could be described as egomaniacs. And it's just a sign that's what it's going to be like in the last days. Look at the next one. Boasters and then proud. They're arrogant. The inward attitude that looks down on everybody but yourself. Stuck on ourselves. My opinion is all that matters. So the first category, the people of the last days. Notice the second one. The families of the last days. Look at verse 2. Blasphemers. They blaspheme God, and they blaspheme all that is right. Profanity, pornography, wickedness is pouring into our living rooms and on our phones. And we know God says, "Thou shalt not." But we say, "Oh, I shall." 1939, some of you will remember the movie Gone with the Wind. Clark Gable was fined $5,000 because in that movie he used a four-letter word. And yet much of the TV we watch is filled with four-letter words. And we just, it's not that bad. Not that bad. It's just a sign. It's just a sign we're living in the last days. Look what it says. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You say, preacher, does that one really belong in there? Absolutely, it does. One of the characteristics of kids in the last days, they have no respect for parents. They're disobedient. We're raising a generation that does not understand authority. The answer for disrespectful kids is the Word of God. Scripture tells us, train up the child in the way he should go. You have to train them to obey. Train them, yes, sir. Train them, no, sir. We don't call adults by their first name. It's Mr. and Mrs. Parents, God gave you children to train them. They're not to train you. You are to train them. And one of the marks on this society, fathers have abdicated their responsibility in the home. They allow their children in a bloodless coup to rule the house. And they're telling mama and daddy how things are going to operate. I'm here to say, hey, as long as God has given us the responsibility, some of us need to come in and say, nuh-uh, here's how it's going to be in this house, thus saith the Lord. Amen? The kids are getting nervous right now. You go to any mall in America, and you just look at the eyes of the kids walking up and down. Oh, yeah, they're dressed, and oh, yeah, they got some craziness going on. Look at their eyes. And I'm wondering, where are the daddies? Where are the daddies saying, no, you're not going to do that? Where are the daddies saying, no, 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 we as a family, we're going to do this together? Where are the daddies? Hey, disobedient to parents. I put a lot of responsibility on the parents. Because Scripture says, children, you shall obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So if you don't demand Johnny at 2 years old obey, guess what? When he's 8 and when he's 18, he's not going to obey anybody either. So it's your responsibility to obey when you say, hey, this is what's going to be done in the house. And they say, no. You give them some loving correction and say, no, I said yes. And you teach them to obey. You've heard it. The inmates are running the asylum. The monkeys are running the zoo. I'm not saying your kids are monkeys. I'm saying it's out of whack and it's out of control. And it's time that Christian families be different than the world's families. And children be obedient to parents. Amen? Everybody said amen except for the kids. Look at the next one. Disobedient to parents. Next one. Unthankful. You say, is that a big deal? Absolutely. We should be grateful for everything in our lives. Every good gift is from above. And there are people that have been good to us and helped us. None of us are where we are today without the help of others. And it doesn't cost anything to say thank you. Look at the next one. Unthankful, unholy. There's no reverence for sacred things in the last days. We call good evil, and we call evil good. The families of the last days. Let me give you one more. Look at verse 3. Without natural affections. You say, what's he talking about? Normal affection that ought to exist in families is gone. Children saying, I hate my parents. That's not natural affection. Children killing parents. Parents killing children. Spouses killing each other. That's not natural affection. That's one way to interpret this. Romans 1:27, they're going to put it on the screen. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of a woman, burn in their lust one toward another, men working with men, that which is unseemly. So it's homosexuality, which, if this is politically correct or incorrect, it's biblically accurate. So here it goes. Homosexuality is against Scripture. Period. Adultery is against Scripture as well. Amen? It's a whole lot easier to say, yeah, that homosexual, but we don't want to say anything about adultery. Both of them are sin, and both of them are wrong and against God. So the family of the last days. Look at the work environment of the last days. Verse 3. Truth breakers. A man's word means nothing. Business contract, marriage contract, treaty amongst nations. Word means nothing. Next one, false accusers. They're just slanderers. They just lie about people and they know it's a lie. As we see this happening more and more and more, we know we're getting close. It's the last days. Look at the next one. False accusers. And then there's that next word. Incontinent. What does that mean? No self-control. If it feels good, do it. Well, I know I made a vow to my wife, but I just... One of the marks of the last days is it's a pleasure-driven society, and whatever we want to make us happy, we're going to do it. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's immorality, you just go do it. Look at the next one. Incontinent, fierce. It means brutal. It means animalistic. Our jails are filled today with hoodlums. We don't have the space to lock them up because evil and wickedness is expanding so rapidly, and they're fierce. You say, what does that mean? Look at your watch. It's getting close to Jesus coming back. You say, when? I don't know, but it's getting close. Look at the next one. Despisers of those that are good. Hollywood mocks Christians. The cultural elite mock what we believe in, and this is just going to get worse. Look at verse 4. Traitors, backstabbers, high-minded, it means conceited. Heady, they live out of their head. Everything is calculated, nothing from the heart. Let me give you one more. The worship environment of the last days. Hey, last days. Are there still going to be churches around? Oh, there's churches around. But notice what these churches are like. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. God intends for people to have fun, to have pleasure. Nothing wrong with having a good time. But when our desire for pleasure is more than our desire for God, we've gotten it out of balance. And I'm here to say that is what has happened in America. We love pleasure. We love our sports. We love our hobbies. Oh, we'll get around to God when we have time. But we got to go have fun. And we got to go make memories doing this and that and that. And God is just put on the shelf. It's just a sign. We're living in a pleasure-driven society. Resorts, theaters, stadiums, nightclubs. Oh, we can't get enough of them. But nah, I don't have time to go to church. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness. So there will be religion in the last days. The names will be on the roll of the church. But you can get your name on the roll of a church but you can still live immoral, ungodly, unethical. That's one of the marks of these last days. Look at verse 7. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They don't get it. They hear spiritual truth. They hear spiritual teaching, but it does not compute. I'm here to say, because they've never been born again, they're not saved. Look at verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also. They resist the truth. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what that Sunday school teacher says. I don't care what that preacher says. God, do what I want to do. That's what it's talking about last days. Resist the truth of what it says. Men, women of corrupt minds, wicked, lustful, perverted. Look what it says. Reprobate concerning the faith, morally unprincipled, depraved, live on what they want to do, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. Danger of the last days. Perilous times. Description of the last days. I'm here to say, look at America. And I think maybe God has given us a little space of grace. We better grab it. We better seize it. Because the next period, it could be awfully dangerous to be a Christian. Look at the third truth. The defense for the last days. Look at verse 5. So how do we make it? In these last days, where we're getting exceedingly wicked and depraved, how do we make it? Let me point out a couple of ways that we're going to make it. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. So if you want to make it in the last days, if you want to excel when so many people are falling by the wayside, you got to be godly. Not having a form of godly, you have to be godly. Think about the Pharisees. Oh, they had a form of godliness. They looked the part. They acted the part. Oh, they could quote scripture. But inwardly, Jesus said, they were full of rottenness. They were full of dead men. They were full of deceit. Don't have a form of godliness. Be godly. And then look at the verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. When you are religious and you're not walking with Jesus, you're denying all that God has available to you. So what does this mean, Pastor? You got to be born again. You can come to a church and not be saved. You can be dunked in a tank and not be a follower of Christ. You have to be born again. But what does it mean to be godly? To be like God. To follow hard after God. To resemble what this book tells us. Now, we know how to be into sports. We know how to be into our hobbies. We know how to be into our jobs. Be into God and be into His Word. Now look at it again. Having a form of godliness, denying the power. If you look at the characteristic of the religious people in the last days, they're powerless. Heard about a vacuum cleaner salesman out in the middle of nowhere. Went and he's selling vacuum cleaners. Knocked on the door of this old rundown house. Lady answers the door. The guy says, "I like to sell you my vacuum cleaner." Goes in and he has a big old pot of dirt. He pours it out on her ground. He says, hey, and she, her eyes get really big. He said, no, I'm going to show you my vacuum cleaner. It'll pick up every speck of dirt. He says, if it won't pick up every speck of dirt, I'll pick it up with my own mouth. Lady looked at him, looked at that dirt. He says, where's your electric outlet? She says, we don't have electricity. Form of godliness. There's no power. How are you going to make it in the last days? God has available to Christians the power to excel in absolute chaos. Listen. When persecution comes, you can't still be doing great because you're close to the Lord. It says of Enoch, Enoch walked with God. He was close with God. He resembled God, and he had God's power upon us. Only way you're going to make it. That's why we're pushing people to be involved in the Word. Be godly. Secondly, be separate. Look what it says. Last part of verse 5. From such, turn away. Withdraw yourself from wickedness. Don't be bosom buddies with the God deniers, with the people that are not following after Jesus. There are some people Christians do not need to be close to. There are some places Christians do not need to go. There are some practices Christians do not need to practice. Plain and simple. I'm a Christian. I want everybody to know it. So therefore, I act like a Christian. And my friends, my friend group, they are Christians as well. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to separate. And there's some things you're going to have to say no to. Have you seen around here lately? They're rebuilding and replacing the tiles in these roads. And they put up these signs saying, road closed. And when I come up to that road closed sign, I'm like, is it really closed? I mean, have they really taken it out? Or is it there a week early because they're going to send the guys over there and they're going to take it out? Or maybe it's been there for like 3 weeks. And I'm like, I know how long it takes to replace a tile. They got to be, hey, is it really closed still, or they're just maybe cleaning up the road? I'm not saying I've ever done this. Gone around that sign and go down there, and you know what? That road closed sign was there for a reason. It was still closed, and I very inconspicuously just did a U-turn and hoped nobody saw me. Separate. There's some directions you don't need to go. If it's not Christ-like, if it's not God-fearing, if you're going to make it, if your children are going to make it, you have to teach your children, hey, we're Christians, and I realize everybody else at school is doing that, but we're Christians, we're not. But Daddy, they'll make fun. Who cares? They're going to make fun of us in the last days. You have to teach your children. It's a whole lot more important that God praises you than the kids at school praise you. Hey, let them mock us. Let them ridicule us. We got one person to please, and that's Jesus. Amen? Be godly. Be separate. Let me give you one more. Be stable. Look down at verse 8. Janus Jambres withstood Moses, so do these. Also, they resist the truth. You don't resist truth. Anytime you're reading Scripture and God speaks to you through your word, through His word, you embrace truth. Anytime you're hearing truth taught, Sunday school or a discipleship group, and the Holy Spirit says, that's right. You don't resist it. No, I'm not going to do that. You embrace it. Look down at verse 10. thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You've fully known it. We got to be people of the book. How are we going to make it in the last days? You got to get in the book. You say, preacher, I don't read well. Guess what? They make cell phones now, and they read the Bible to you. You can know your Bible by your cell phone, but you got to get into the book. Only way you can look down at verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You say, hey, it's never been quite this bad. Hey, good news. It's going to get worse. Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. How do we handle it when things are getting worse and worse and worse? Continue on. Be faithful. Keep going. Embrace truth. When truth is mocked, when truth is ridiculed, when truth is despised, when truth is hated, you embrace it. And I'm here to say, you speak up for truth. How are they ever going to know what truth is if Christians don't speak up and confront evil and say, hey, that is not true. Here's what the Bible says that is true. We got to embrace it. And we got to speak on truth. If I ever go out on a boat, I don't care if it's going out on the ocean or if it's going out on a lake, I want to make sure we have life jackets. Because I'm not a great swimmer. And I have fears. And if that boat goes down, I want to protect my kids, and especially my grandkids, but I want a life jacket. Because I'm not a good swimmer. And it's not like I'm going to put that life jacket on halfway. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to do those little clips. I'm going to pull that little string thing as tight as I can, and I'm fat, and I'm going to pull it tight so it stays on, because the only way I'm not going to drown is that life preserver, that life jacket, and I'm embracing it for everything that my fat body can handle. I'm embracing it. That's how you make it in the last days. This is truth. Fox News is not always true. CNN is not always true. MSNBC is not always true. This is always true. And you embrace it, and you hold on to it when they laugh at it, when they mock it, when they ridicule it. You hold on to it, and you lean on it, and you stand on it, and you'll never go under. Amen? 50th anniversary of D-Day, the Allied invasion of Normandy. One of the television documentaries, they did two contrasting interviews, back to back. The first interview was with a Marine who stormed the beach. They said, "What, as you were storming the beach that day, what did you think?" This is what he said. "I saw blood. I saw casualties all around me. My thought was, we're going to lose." And they did that interview. Immediately after, they did a second interview. Second interview was by a U.S. Army Corps pilot. And as he was flying up above, over top, he said, I saw the casualties. But as I looked at everything that was happening, my thought was this: we're going to win. Two different perspectives. Now listen, there are going to be days where you're in the throes of it. You say, preacher, you don't know what my job is like. You don't know what this is like. Look at what's going on in our world. Hey, can I encourage you? We're going to win. This book tells us we're going to win. So rest assured, be encouraged. We are going to win. And how do we respond? We fight the good fight of faith today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, take care of the things of self. You fight the good fight of faith today. And we get up tomorrow. I'm a winner. I got the book. I got the promise of God. I got the Holy Spirit. Woo! I'm more than conqueror through the Lord Jesus. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm going to win. Amen.